Now, the racehorse known as Frankel was born on the 11th of February 2008 with four white socks, a blaze and from impressive equine lines on both his parents' side. Well, our first guest today has written all about him and he's going to tell us at least some of it. Welcome to the show, Simon Cooper.
Thank you very much, Selena. Lovely to be on the show.
Great to have you on the show. So, have you always been into racing then?
I have to confess, yes. I mean, it's not my current profession, but I come from a family that's fascinated in horse racing. And my first memory was really my grandmother was sort of obsessed with horse racing. And we used to sit in front of the television, black and white television in her home. And she had a telephone account with her turf accountant. And we used to sit there watching the racing and having shilling bets. And she used to say that she was, when my parents used to complain that I was wasting my childhood away, she said, oh, he's going to be great at maths.
And were you?
Actually, I am brilliant. All modesty aside, I am really good at mental arithmetic. But don't test me. That would be really unfair.
Well, I am aware that you now run a fly fishing holiday company, but you did spend some time at some stables, I believe.
I did. When I was at college, one of my holiday jobs was working in a racing stable, just, you know, mucking out and looking after the horses. I'm really not a very good rider. But after I left university, I went to work in the betting industry and started off, like many people do, as a betting shop manager, and then sort of wriggled my way up through on-course betting, and ended up doing the PR for one of the big betting corporations, Coral.
Right. Okay. And why Frankel? There's a lot of amazing horses out there. Why did you decide to write about Frankel?
Well, I guess probably three reasons. I mean, and the most blindingly obvious is that, you know, he is arguably the greatest racehorse to ever live. And nobody had written his biography.
So that's amazing, isn't it?
It is bizarre. Yeah. It is very bizarre. And so there was, you know, as the marketing men would say, there seemed to be a bit of a gap in the market there. So that seemed an obvious opportunity. It was an interesting story. He's very blue-blooded in his pedigree. But, you know, Selena, every year there are thousands of horses that cost vast amounts of money that are equally well-bred as Frankel, who do absolutely nothing in their racing career. You know, they'd even manage to, you know, win a few thousand pounds for their owners. But Frankel succeeded where others had failed and was truly a great horse. It was a great story. And as well as that, I didn't just want to tell the story about Frankel, however interesting that is. What I wanted to do, because for all of us who go racing regularly, really our association with the racehorse tends to be limited to the moment it walks into the parade ring, to the moment it disappears back into the racing stables at the end of the race. But there's a huge amount of life outside that. And so what I wanted to explain to the reader was how a racehorse goes from a spindly little foal to this incredible racing machine, and their daily life and the people who look after them and how they progress from young horse to mature horse to racehorse to stallion.
Yeah, because there's a massive team behind them, isn't there?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, at Warren Place in Newmarket, where Frankel was trained, there'd be about, at the height, there'd have been about 150 horses and probably about over 200 members of staff.
Crikey, that is a lot. Well, does the book start from the very beginning then, from when he was born? Because I believe at a stud farm, a foal will only live with his mother for the first year. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. So the book starts with actually at his conception, at the mating of his father Galileo and his mother kind in Coolmore, the Coolmore Stud in Ireland. And so, yes, it starts there, and then we return to Newmarket, where Kind spent her pregnancy, and then she gave birth to Frankel, as you said, on the 11th of February 2008 at his home at Banstead Manor in Suffolk. And then he stayed there, and as you say, until he was about a year, and then he'd be separated from his mother, and then he went off to Ireland for the next stage in his life.
Mm. And then is he trained from that age, from just 1 year old? Do they start to train him from then on?
They do. They do very gently, very gently. It's a very slow process. Very little pressure put on the horses. They live in this magnificent, I mean, truly magnificent place in Tipperary in Ireland. It's very beautiful. And they're just gradually, you know, they gradually fed more to build them up. They're first walked, and then eventually someone will sit on their back. And then they're progressively trained to be a racehorse. You don't suddenly wake up one morning as a horse and think, oh, yeah, I'm 2 years old and I'm ready to race. It's a long progression. It's just like training any athlete or tennis player or golfer. You know, it's all about teaching them the business.
And do you think they knew, do you think particularly the trainer knew that he had something special early on?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, there was no doubt. Henry Cecil, who was one of the greatest trainers of the last century, he had a great eye for a horse. He wasn't very scientific as a trainer. You know, some trainers are very scientific. You know, they take blood tests, they weigh their horses, they do speed trials. For Henry, it was very, very, you know, it was all gut instinct. And from the moment Frankel returned from Ireland to Newmarket, not only was he born in Newmarket, he was trained in Newmarket. The moment he was walked off the horse box from Ireland to Henry Cecil's stables at Warren Place, he looked at that horse and thought, yeah, that's something special.
Mm. And was it Henry Cecil that had his own battles? Did he have battles with cancer as well?
He did. I mean, he'd had cancer. So Henry Cecil trained Frankel between 2010 and 2012, and in the early part of the millennium, I don't remember the exact date, but around about 2004-2005, he'd had cancer, went into remission, and then by the time Frankel arrived, or a few months after Frankel arrived, his cancer returned. So it was always a bit of a race between Frankel succeeding in the way that Henry wanted him to succeed, and his cancer finally overtaking him. And so you'd have a typical trainer's day would be Henry used to get up at about 4 a.m. in the morning, used to walk around the yard, see all his horses. Then he'd watch them. Then they'd go out for gallops, where they literally run across the Newmarket Heath to get fit. And he'd do that until mid-morning, and then he'd go off to Cambridge Hospital, have his chemotherapy, and then return late afternoon so they could do evening stables and could see the horses again.
Yeah. It was obviously his life.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so much so that it seemed unbelievable for a horse as valuable as Frankel, but there was absolutely no security at Warren Place where he trained. You could literally walk off the street and go and see Frankel, who lived in this incredibly ramshackle stable, it has to be said, because he wouldn't live anywhere else because he could be a little temperamental. And so eventually, as the Frankel bandwagon sort of moved along, it was suggested that there should be some security. Well, that's great. You put in a closed circuit TV system, but that's only as good as the person watching it. Well, you know, Warren Place, they didn't have any security staff, and certainly no one was going to be watching a security monitor 24/7. So Henry had the feed installed in his bedroom.
Oh, he's definitely dedicated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you mentioned that Frankel could be a little temperamental. I was reading about the poor stable hands who had to cope with his explosive nature sometimes.
Oh, he was a devil. I mean, his stable hand Sandy, who looked after him for his entire racing career. So his job was to feed him, clean out his box, get him ready for the races, get him ready for the training gallops. Sandy, after a few weeks, Sandy's wife saw Sandy undressing one day, and she thought he'd been up to something very strange because he was covered in all these bruises.
Oh no!
And it was because Frankel kept biting him.
Oh no!
It was a terrible. Or he'd stick his leg out and trip Sandy over.
Oh dear, naughty
so
thing!
He liked to play with people.
And was it the same jockey during his whole career?
It was. So typically, a big trainer like Henry Cecil would have a stable jockey who would ride, all the stable horses. And in that case, it was a young jockey at the time called Tom Queeley, and he rode Frankel in all 14 of his races, and he'd be deeply involved in the day-to-day training of Frankel. And so 3 or 4 times a week, he would ride Frankel out on the gallops.
And who actually owned him, Simon?
Yes, well, he was owned by one of the largest owners of British racehorses, Prince Caleb Abdullah, who has dedicated his life to horse racing. He's a member of the Saudi royal family, and has he's quite elderly now, and his racing empire has been scaled back. But he actually bred Frankel, so Frankel is very much a product of his 30 years of breeding racehorses. So huge tribute to him. He can take, it's not like he went off and bought it off someone for some vast sum of money. He absolutely sat down and said, I've got a mare called Kind. I believe the stallion Galileo would make the perfect father. If we put those two together, there's a chance we could have a great racehorse.
Yeah.
He was absolutely right.
He certainly was. And of course, he did many, many things. He rode in all 14 races, and there's far too many to mention. But they do retire quite early, don't they? So he retired to stud at the age of 4.
That's right. At the end of his 4th year. So he raced for 3 years, which is, 2 or 3 years is fairly common for a racehorse of that caliber. And so when he was 5, he started his stud career.
Right. And has he got any children that are going to be great racehorses?
I'm struggling for the statistics, but I think he's had close to 1,000 offspring now.
And
he has had... absolutely. I mean, he's very productive. He's very fertile. And he's had some fantastic offspring. And he'd be rated as one of the top 5 stallions in the world at the moment.
Aww.
Which, actually, believe it or not, is relatively unusual. Great racehorses do not necessarily make great stallions, and so he's quite unusual in that case. And his father Galileo, who's without a doubt the most outstanding stallion alive at the moment, I mean, he was a good racehorse, but he probably wouldn't ever feature in the top 50 racehorses of all time, whereas Frankel, possibly the best ever. Definitely a really great stallion.
Yeah, incredible. I'm looking at a photograph of him now on my computer. He's absolutely gorgeous.
He is.
Did you meet him? I've got to ask you, have you met him?
I've met him on plenty of occasions.
Wonderful.
He lives in incredible splendour, an incredibly cosseted life. He's a valuable asset. I mean, if you want to send your mare to Frankel to have a foal, you're going to have to pay £175,000.
Oh, yeah, cheap at half the price.
Well, I would say. So he's earning for his owner, for Prince Charles.
Yes.
Something like, well, what would it be, about 25, 30 million a year.
Wow, he's earning his keep. And yeah. What's next for you, Simon? Because I know in the past you've written books about nature and wildlife, haven't you?
Yes. This is a slightly odd. So yes, I mean, it's I wrote my first book ever, as I think you said at the beginning of the show, that my first ever book was on chalk streams, which is, you know, a reflection of my professional life as a professional fly fishing guide and holiday organizer. So I wrote that, and then my second book was called The Otter's Tale, and I live in this lovely mill in Hampshire near the River Test, and we had this family of otters who came to live with us for a year.
I wrote
their story, and then I had this sort of light bulb moment about Frankel, and though it was slightly out of the run of what I normally write, it sort of took me back to, you know, my professional life all those years ago, and this was a chance to reconnect and follow one of my other passions.
Oh, fantastic. Well, people can find out more from the book, which is called Frankel, the Greatest Racehorse of All Time and the Sport That Made Him. It's by Simon Cooper, who we're speaking to now. And as always, we're selling it on our website, tre.radio. Do you have a website for your fishing holiday company, Simon?
Yes, that's very kind. Just give me a plug.
Why not?
it's www.fishingbreaks.co.uk.
Great stuff. .co.uk. Lovely. Well, it's been fascinating chatting to you. And take care. Next time you see Frankel, give him a pat on the nose from me.
I will. I'll give him a carrot from you.
Ah, lovely. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thanks, Selena. Bye.
Bye-bye.